Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
I can pray without ceasing, and I can ask God to call me into his presence, and it just becomes this natural thing where I'm having a talk with God. So every day on the way to work, it's 20 minutes from my house to church here, I got 20 minutes where I can either be continually irritated by the traffic and the ridiculous people who are all around me, and they just kind of congregate around me. I don't know what the deal is. But I can just be griping and moaning about all these people, or I can be listening to talk radio or something and getting ticked off at the government and everybody that's involved in it, or I could spend some time just talking to the Lord. And so that's what I do. I spend some time talking to the Lord. And then when I get here, I'll open up my Bible and sit down and spend some time there. And it's just this kind of natural thing where I'm just spending time with Jesus just because. And again, it's one of those things where God kind of calls me into this, and that's what we need to be doing. You don't sweat. You don't work at this stuff. This is a relationship with Jesus. Can you imagine if I sweated over my... So I come home and I tell my wife, okay, I have to spend this time with you because it's so important for my marriage, and I need to work really hard here to make sure that I'm okay with you and that you're okay with me. And I just go at it in that kind of way. Isn't that romantic? Or I come in and I go, I just love you and I just want to be with you. Well, how was your day? What's going on? And do that kind of thing. Which would you rather? And again, it's like that with our relationship with the Lord. He goes on in this passage and says, again, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. And so I don't want to fall. And what I don't want to fall with is through insincerity. And that's where the disobedience of the Israelites were. It goes on in the passage and says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. And so I need to be sincere in my walk with God. When you're looking at the people of Israel in the Old Testament, when they're coming out of the land, God said, here's the deal, guys. If you will do this for me, these are the things that I'll do for you. I'll be your king. I'll be your guide. I'll be the one who works in you. You'll be a nation of priests. And God goes through and he lays out this whole thing. And all these people said, oh, yes, we will do everything that you want us to do, Lord, right? And then a few days later, they're worshiping Bessie the cow. And Moses is coming down from the mountain going, what in the world? And so, all of this stuff has to get straightened out. And obviously, the reason that happened is because these people were insincere in their relationship with God. And one of the things that we need to understand about the God that we're dealing with is that he's a God who exposes especially insincerity. So he says, don't fall according to the same example of disobedience. And then he says, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than a sword, even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And it's the idea that, number one, the word of God is alive. And there's two aspects that are being spoken about here. One of the aspects that's being spoken about is the Bible itself. And so this is a living book. This is something that comes alive when you sit down and read it. And in fact, when you're going to sit down and read your Bible, it's not like any other book. It needs to be something that, again, is spirit-led. When I sit down and read my Bible, I go, God, you need to show me new things. You need to show me what you want me to see here. because God makes it come alive that way. One of the reasons that I got saved in the first place, I went to Greg Laurie's church, and I've told this story multiple times. Got invited to church. The guy who invited me to church did not show up. I was stuck there because I didn't have a car, and so I ended up sitting in the back. I come in, and I sit in the back, and I'm like, okay, here we are. Let's see what happens here. And the pastor comes out, and it was Greg Laurie. And the pastor comes out, and he's weird in the first place because he's got hair down to his shoulders, got a big old beard, looked like his beard was as long as Matt Lewis's beard. And so, and wavy blonde hair and all, he was a hippie is what he was. And so he comes out and he opens up the Bible and he starts teaching from it. And I don't even remember where he was teaching from, but everything that guy said nailed me. Everything he said. And he talked about everything I'd done that week. And I had a Bible. I had to go and find it, buried in my room someplace. I'd never really opened it and ever spent time reading it. And so I found my Bible, I brought it. I didn't know where the books were. Guy next to me helped me open up the books and stuff. And I remember sitting there listening to this dude and looking down at the Bible and looking up at him and looking down at the Bible and getting convicted over all these things. And I'm going, how can this be happening? This is a 2,000-year-old book. And it was the whole time that I was there, it was like this whole supernatural thing was going on. It was the weirdest thing to me that something that was 2,000 years old could actually apply to my life. And I was flipping out over the whole thing. And what I didn't know was that the Word of God is alive. A 2,000-year-old book that speaks to you today, speaks straight to your heart. And that's something that happened to me after I became a Christian too. So after I became a Christian, I'm going through things on my in job situations and you know, how to deal with guys, how to witness to guys, you know, all this different stuff, how to deal with my family, how to treat people, all that. And I know nothing. I know nothing about Christianity. I know nothing about how my life is supposed to go. And I handled things a certain way when I was in the world. And so if you got up in my face, I just got right back in your face and backed you down. And I knew enough about Christianity to go, okay, I can't do that. I can't see Jesus, telling somebody, back it off or I'm going to punch you in the face. You know, I don't think that that's what I'm supposed to do. And so I literally did not know how to deal with stuff. And I would come home and I go, God, I don't know how to deal with this dude because I don't want to be a bad witness. Will you please show me? And I'm going through my Bible and it's like a big black book to me. And I would run into the verses that dealt with my exact problem. And I'd be like, oh, that's what you're supposed to do. And then I'd go and try to apply those things. Didn't do it perfectly, but I'd try to apply those things. And it always blew me away because God was constantly showing me stuff when I was opening up my Bible and asking him to do these things, right? And so it's because the Word of God is alive and it's something that's powerful. It's why when I'm talking to people at church, when I'm teaching and stuff, I pepper everything that I'm saying to you guys with Bible verses. You'll see me doing that all the time. And a lot of times I'll throw them up on the screen. You know why I throw them up on the screen? So that you can hear them and so that you can see them at the same time so they'll impact you more efficiently. That's why I'm doing it. It's not because I don't want you to turn to the passages, because I'll turn to passages, but it's because I want you to get it from two directions, the eye gate, the ear gate. And so I want you to hear it and I want you to see it. You know why? Because it's the Bible that changes people's lives. It's not my stories about the Bible. It's not my teaching about the Bible. It's the Word of God itself. It's alive. And so I'll be making a point, and then when I'm making the point, I'm talking about how life is supposed to go or something like that, I'll end it with a Bible passage, and boom, that's the thing that nails people, and that's what they walk out with. And that's what you want to happen. Word of God is alive. Word of God is powerful. And that word powerful is in Greek, energēs. It's literally energizing. It brings life to you. And that, again, is something that we need to recognize. It's also a sword. And what do swords do? Yeah, they pierce, they cut. And so there's a cutting that God will do with his word to wound, and that's conviction. And there's a cutting that God will do in with his word to heal. And actually in both those instances, that's what's supposed to be happening. If God's wounding you, the reason he's wounding you is so that he can heal you from something that's wrecking you. And so I had surgery last year on my left knee, and I was down for 6 weeks or however long that was. I can't remember. I think it was 6 weeks. I'm down for 6 weeks. And the reason I'm down for 6 weeks is because that wounding that took place where that, have you ever seen a surgery that's like that? Have you ever seen what they do to you? Have you ever seen like a C-section on video and stuff? It's really gross because those guys go in there and they're not gentle. They just cut you open, you know, rip things open and that kind of stuff. And my son is involved in surgeries. And one of the things that he told me about it is it's just like doing carpentry. You get in there and they're on you with drills and they're on you with saws and they're on you with rasps and that kind of, they're fancy drills, fancy saws and fancy rasps. But my son said they're in there just smacking things around. That kind of stuff. It's rough stuff when you're talking about this. And so I'm all cut open and that guy was bending my knee backwards basically to get stuff in. And I'm radically sore afterwards and it was all done for healing. So that after the fact, you know, 8 weeks later, I can get up and I can stand up and I can walk around and my knee doesn't hurt anymore. And I can do things that I haven't been able to do for 20 years. God will do exactly the same thing with you. And he'll use the word to do it. So he'll cut you. He'll cut you. It pierces to the soul, to the spirit, able to divide the indivisible. When you go through the Bible, there are passages that talk about the spirit and the soul, and there are differences between those two, but they're almost indistinguishable. And so sometimes in one gospel, it will quote something that Jesus says, and the word that's used in the passage is soul, and in another gospel, it's the word spirit. And so they're almost indistinguishable, but the Bible talks about there's a difference between the two. And so the idea there is that the word of God is like a sword that pierces, and it's able to divide the indivisible. Joints and marrow go along with that too. One of the things, again, you know, the day that I got saved that really hit me was the fact that Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. You either gather with me or you scatter. And that right there pierced me all the way to the inside. Because before that point, I was kind of going, when I walked in the door, I thought I was a Christian because I lived in America. And then I'm watching all these people in church doing the things that they were doing, and they're all worshiping God, and I didn't worship God like they did. And so I'm seeing a difference there, and I'm like, well, I don't know if I'm a Christian or not. And then Greg quotes that verse, you're either for me or against me, you either gather with me or you scatter. And I realized I'm not for him. I can see a bunch of people in the room that are for him, and that's not me. And so that puts me in the category of being against him. And right there, that pierced me all the way down to the inside. And I realized I was going to go to hell if I didn't know Jesus. And so that, again, is what the Word of God does. It's something that is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It discerns thoughts and intents. And one of the things that, again, you have with the Word of God is that if you're actually reading it and you're paying attention to it, there is no self-delusion. There is no nonsense. You're picking these things up and God is straightforward about what my life is supposed to look like, what a real relationship with Christ is supposed to look like. And the whole hypocrite thing, the whole fake thing is not something that you can maintain if you're actually paying attention to the Word of God. Okay? And so that's one of the things that you have. People who want self-delusion and nonsense stay well away from the word, or they rarely touch on it. But if you're somebody who wants to actually know the truth, pick your Bible up, you read it, and you know, it's like you go to a church where the guy standing up front will just tell you what it says, and you're not somebody who's playing those kinds of games. And so you have that. Okay, so that's the Word of God as the Bible. But this is also talking about Jesus as the Word of God. He's the Logos. And so in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And so the Bible talks about Jesus being the Word of God, and then the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. And so what is being said there about the physical Word of God right here is also something that's true about Jesus himself. He's somebody who's alive, and he's powerful in your life. And he's somebody who is like a sword in your life. He's able to cut you. He's able to wound you. He's able to heal you. He's somebody who pierces to the innermost being. There are times when the Lord will just speak one word to you, and it just takes your whole world, and it turns it upside down. You guys know what I mean, right? That started on the day that you got saved. And so both aspects, Jesus being the Word, and the Word of God itself, the Bible itself being the Word. He goes on and he says in verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, which is obviously, again, talking about the Word, Jesus. There's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And so when you're looking at this, we need to not fall through insincerity, because if we are insincere, we're going to be exposed. Because again, the Word of God is alive and it's powerful. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And specifically, there's no creature hidden from his sight. God is watching you. And so we need to recognize that, I can sit here and fake out everybody in the room and you're not going to know any better. I could fake you out. I could have been faking this stuff for 34 years now. That's how long I've been in the Tri-Cities. Could have been faking everything. And I might be able to get away with it with you, but I can't get away with it with God. And again, this is why having a personal relationship with the Lord is so important. There are people who are hypocrites, and the word hypocrite in Greek is a word that was used for actors. And actors don't pay attention to this. They're not paying attention to the fact that all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. What they are paying attention is to whether or not you can figure out if they're acting or they're playing a game. Basically, when you're looking at God in this context, basically what the Lord is saying in that passage is, I'm watching your act, and it stinks. So anybody who's acting in front of the Lord, God's not impressed with it. He sees the whole thing. He knows exactly what's going on. So you might as well just knock it off, because he's not impressed with your act. I might be impressed with your act. I may think you're oh so spiritual, because I don't have the same kind of discernment that God has. Lincoln said at one point, you can fool some of the people all the time, you can fool all the people some of the time, but I always take this and flip it around for God. You can fool all the people some of the time, you can fool some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool God at all, at any time. And that again is a situation that we've got here with the Lord. Naked and open. That word for open is the word trachalizo in Greek, and it means to seize and twist the neck or throat to expose it for killing. Isn't that a freaky thing? And so when it says, there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. And it's like the idea of taking a lamb or taking a goat, or taking, most often you would do that with a lamb or a goat, and you take it by the back of its head and you would turn the head so that it couldn't move, and then you would run a knife across its throat. You were exposing the throat for sacrifice. That's kind of an intimidating word there, is the point. And so I need to be intimidated by the fact that God is watching me. And so what I'm doing in my office when I'm all by myself, God is watching. What I'm doing on my phone when I'm all by myself, God is watching. When I'm watching TV and I think I'm all by myself, God is watching the things I read. God is watching the things I'm thinking about. God is watching. And, you know, it's not the kind of thing where we need to walk around in fear. I actually need to have a fear of displeasing him in the sense that I love the Lord and I don't want to do things that hurt him or mess up my relationship with him. But if that's not going to work, then fear is good too. The Bible, actually Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 10, and he said, you know, you don't need to be afraid of people who can kill you, and that's all they can do. If you're going to be afraid of somebody, then be afraid of him who can kill your body and then cast your soul into hell. But then he goes, but better than that, you need to recognize that God knows when a sparrow falls from the sky. And you are of much more value than many sparrows. And so the whole idea of fearing God in the sense of, it's like I don't want to come under the judgment of God. That's one thing, and it's something that we need to recognize. If I'm looking at the fear of man versus the fear of God, I need to be more afraid of what Jesus thinks about me than what you think about me. So that's something I always keep in mind. But then on the other hand, I need to recognize that God loves me, and that's an even better motivation for doing the things that God wants me to do. I just don't want to disappoint him. And when I do, I feel really bad about the whole thing. And not because I'm necessarily afraid of judgment, but I feel really bad because I've disappointed the one that I care about the most and the one who cares about me the most. And so, again, you have that whole thing. So everything's naked and open to him with whom we have to do. He goes on and then says, the same God who is watching you is the one who is your advocate and the one who's your high priest. And what Paul is doing here is he's doing exactly the same thing that Jesus did in Matthew chapter 10. You need to recognize that God is watching you and you are under the judgment of God in the sense that he can see everything that you're doing and you need to be concerned about that whole thing. But then he goes on and he says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So again, the same God who is watching you is your advocate. He's your high priest. He's the one who represents you before God. And so when you're talking about a priesthood has a God that's being worshiped, and the priest is the go-between between a group of people and the God who they're going to worship. And that's exactly what Jesus is for us. He's the go-between between us and the Father. And so because we have this great high priest who loves us so much and cares about us, he advocates for us in the sense that he defends us before the Father. You see this in 1 John chapter 1, where it talks about Jesus is our advocate before the Father. It's the idea of somebody who represents you in a court case. And so the situation there is that we're being accused by Satan. The Bible says that Satan accuses us day and night. And when he accuses us before God, he doesn't have to lie about us. He can literally tell the truth about us. You know, Steve's a pastor and Steve's supposed to be this holy guy. Did you just see what he did the other night? And those things would be true. They would be sin and they would be true. And so I'm sitting there guilty before God. And then Jesus comes up as my defense lawyer. That's what advocate means. He's like my defense lawyer.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.